God is good
all the time.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to those of you who join us each week online. It's just a joy to be in the house of the Lord. A few years back, I went to pick my grandson Eli up from grade school. And he was walking out of the building, and he had a bunch of Pokemon cards. You guys familiar with Pokemon? All right, he had a whole bunch of Pokemon cards. We're walking out. It's raining outside, so I've got a little hustle going on, just wanting to move just a little bit. Eli's kind of looking through his cards and finally finds what he's looking for, and he shows me this card. He said, this is, I don't remember what it was. It was some ridiculous thing, and he showed it to me, and I looked at the card, and he goes, this is worth $100. I looked at that card. It looked like a dog had been chewing on that card. And I said, buddy, there's no way it's worth $100. He said, Papa, it's worth $100. That moment, a gust of wind blew the card right out of his hand. It fell down and landed in a mud puddle. I said, is it worth more wet? And he looked at me and he said, stop it. Eli had a treasure of some fashion, and yet that treasure wasn't well protected, and it fared poorly. I have no idea what that card was worth. I know what it's worth to me, but I have no idea what that card was worth. But because that card wasn't protected, it was certainly worth less wet than it had been dry. I want to talk to you about what it means to be flawed containers that carry a priceless treasure. I love Christ Church. I bleed Christ Church blue. I rejoice in our past. I'm excited about our present. I'm bullish on our future. Leading this church has been my passion, my vocation, and this specific context of my calling for 2.5 decades. There are no perfect pastors, and if there are, I am not one of them, and I'm sorry you had to hear it here first. I haven't always gotten everything right in 25 years, but there wasn't a single time I didn't try to get things right. There's also no perfect churches. And if there are, Christ Church isn't one of them. We haven't always gotten everything right, but there wasn't a single time we didn't try to get everything right. So what I need you to know, and especially if you're visiting for the first time looking for the perfect church, you might as well leave now. We do have snow cones on your way out. That should help. This is a church comprised of flawed people like you and me. Can I just hear an amen from somebody? But we continue to be highly effective in carrying out our mission. And flaws and all, I'll take Christ Church 8 days a week. For those of you who may be new to this congregation, we've got a real brief video history. Take a look.
Here's a snapshot of our story. In 1953, Christ United Methodist Church was formed. The first worship service was held in the old Pontiac School basement on November 18th, 1953, and began with 53 charter members. In 1965, the church constructed a permanent building on Lincoln Highway. In 1994, the church voted to relocate and purchase 12 acres of land where the facility currently sits. In 1996, construction was complete and the church moved to its current location on what is now Frank Scott Parkway. In 1997, the average Sunday worship attendance was 210 people. Over the next 10 years, Christ Church grew by 10% a year and added an education building, gymnasium, and sanctuary that seats 1,100 people. Between 2010 and 2020, Christ Church renovated the chapel, added a bookstore and cafe, renovated the student lounge, added a 3-floor children's wing, and planted campuses in Collinsville, Millstadt, outside of Scott Air Force Base, and launched a vibrant Church Online campus. In 2018, Christ Church was recognized as being one of the 100 fastest growing churches in the United States by Outreach Magazine. In 2021, Christ Church disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church and became an independent congregation. What type of kingdom impact has Christ Church made over the last 25 years? Thousands of people have given their lives to Jesus Christ, and 1,500 people have joined the church by profession of faith. Christ Church has also celebrated over 1,200 first-time baptisms. We have reached out to our community by partnering with local nonprofits and donating thousands of backpacks to the Christian Activity Center, as well as tens of thousands of non-perishable items to local food banks. Christ Church continues to reach people in Honduras and the Philippines through mission trips, evangelistic campaigns, health clinics, scholarships, and much more. Connecting people with Jesus Christ, down the hall, around the corner, and around the world. Today, our stories are coming together. We can't wait to see how God is going to use you at Christ Church.
I believe that everything this church has experienced in our history has been to bring us to this point. And I believe that everything you've experienced in your faith journey has been to bring you to this point. I do not believe the fact that you are here today to be a coincidence. I believe that people of this region need the unwavering witness of Christ Church. And I believe that our message of biblical truth in Christ-like love is God's faithful message for the world today. After a difficult 2019 and 2020, that featured denominational conflict that impacted us directly, and a pandemic, respectively. And may I mention, a pandemic is starting to feel like a really bad meal. It just won't go away. This congregation has surged in 2021. God is doing a new thing in our midst. We are living with fresh wind and fresh fire. Our play is not to go back to the good old days. We want to move forward into a new future. And God is bringing us new people here every single week to be a part of what God's doing. And God is sending us mature Christians to help equip us for that future. I stand in awe of how God is moving. If you could have been me last Sunday, and if you could have been Mike or Carmen or Kevin and just prayed with people. We finished a service, we would pray with people until the next service started. It was an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you've been a part of our Wednesday night Going Deeper services, there is no way to deny Christ Church is in revival. We've been praying for revival for years, but we are in revival. I tell you that because I don't want you to miss it because you're praying for it. It's here. Earlier this year, Christ Church formally disaffiliated from the United Methodist denomination. Declaring independence is one thing, building a plane while you're in the air is something else. The goal of your leadership council during our transition has been to keep everything that was good about the old church, our mission, our beliefs, our staff, and enhance it with the flexibility, the energy, and potential of a new church. Also, to have the ability to define our own narrative. We unapologetically believe what we've always believed here at Christ Church. We stand where we have always stood here at Christ Church. We are Orthodox Christians. We believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe our best lives are lived according to biblical teaching. Like our old church, our new church is governed by a leadership council, led in day-to-day ministry by a professional staff, and operates under the spiritual mantle of a senior pastor. Today, we are an independent congregation with the stability of a 68-year history, the energy of a new church start, and the critical mass of a megachurch. What's not to like about that? Today, I begin a new series called Core. Last week, we completed a series called Sozo, and in the Sozo series, my argument throughout was that if we can get our lives aligned with Christ, then Christ's healing, forgiveness, salvation, deliverance will come to us. And last week I pushed on it a little harder and I said, not only does God want to sozo us, he wants to use us to bring his forgiveness, his healing, his deliverance, his salvation to others. In this core series, I've got a very simple premise. If your core is strong, everything's strong. If your core is weak, everything is weak. We are going to strengthen our core. So over the next few weeks, I'm gonna give you 7 core values of the new Christ Church. There'll be another message or two sprinkled in there, but over the next few weeks, you're gonna get 7 core values. These are the things that will make us strong. These are the things at the very center of who we are as the new Christ Church. Today, we're gonna explore our first core value. We will effectively connect people with Jesus Christ. The two words I want to focus on are will. That means you're going to do it. Doesn't mean you're, can I use a Southern Illinois word? Doesn't mean you're meaning to do it. It means you're going to do it. G-O-N-N-A, gonna. That means you're going to get it done. We will effectively, we will not half-heartedly, we're not hoping, we're not sort of hoping to get a break somewhere, we will effectively connect people with Jesus Christ. That is our stated core value. We're not just gonna connect, we're gonna be effective in connecting. Let's begin with a metaphor that the Apostle Paul gave us in 2 Corinthians. Corinth was located at the crossroads of southern Greece. It was a booming and diverse Roman city. It offered industry, opportunity, energy. If you wanted to make your fortune in the Roman Empire, you went to Corinth. There was a place to make a life for yourself. Paul comes in with a really countercultural ministry. He plants an effective church, and as Paul does, he moves on. However, later, a few years later, while in Ephesus, he discovers that the core of that church had weakened. Rather than transforming the culture, they were accommodating and conforming to the culture. Using Paul's metaphor, their earthen vessel was contaminating the priceless treasure that the church was entrusted to hold. To use my metaphor, they dropped their Pokemon card into a mud puddle. Their core was weak. It wasn't that the church wasn't somewhat leaking into the world. It's that way too much of the world was leaking into the church. I think the main problem in the American church today is way too much of the world is leaking into the church. I believe that these instructions for the Corinthian church are our instructions for today. So I'm gonna give you 6 instructions. And if you take notes during messages, and I hope you do, now is when you would do that. Instructions to a countercultural church. I believe God is calling us to be a countercultural church. Here are 6 instructions. Number 1, hold firm. Verse 1, never give up what God has given you. Moving forward in a fallen world is like running up a downward going escalator. Has anyone ever actually done this? Running up a downward going escalator. Let me give you the key to making it work. You have to be going up faster than it's going down. If you can make that work, you're gonna be successful. But at any point, if you decide you need a breather, you're heading the wrong direction. We as a church are running up the downward going escalator. We cannot take a break. We cannot slow down. Because our mission requires it. We've got to stay at a strong gate. At Christ Church, our standard for discipleship, what we think a baseline disciple is worship plus 2 and a tithe. Now, let me tell you what that means. We just believe that a Christian, when we look at it, these are some things that we believe that every Christian should have working in their life. Number 1, they should be engaged in worship at least once a week. At least once a week, they should be engaged in worship. How they access that is up to them, but there's at least 1 worship experience a week. The first part of plus 2 is they need to be in some type of group or encounter with the Word of God that puts you in connection with other people in holy conversation. So we believe that you need to be in worship. You need to be in something else where God is pouring into you. And then thirdly, the second part of plus two, you need to have a ministry. I think a great bumper sticker would be get a ministry. I remember when I was a little bitty kid, bumper sticker said get a life. And then when I was in high school, bumper sticker said get a job. Now I think it'd be a great bumper sticker, get a ministry. I feel like I should be able to ask a Christian, what is your ministry? And they should be able to tell me what their ministry is. Now, that can look like a whole lot of different things, but I think we have to have that or we really don't have a sense of purpose. Maybe your ministry right now is just raising godly children because you sure got plenty of them. That is a ministry, and you're focused on that. Maybe you're an empty nester like we are, and maybe that ministry has a very different kind of focus. Maybe it's something you volunteer to do, something you're passionate about. But we believe that people should be in worship. They should have something going where God has poured into them. They also should be involved something where God uses them to give to others. And we believe in a tithe. A tithe in the Old Testament simply means 10%. In the New Testament, it never says not to tithe. It just tells us two things. Don't let tithing excuse you from treating people right. And number two, you need to be in a good mood about it. That's what the New Testament says. Now you may say, Pastor, that is a really high standard. I get that. But let me tell you something I learned as a coach early in my life. To be the worst team in the world, you don't have to work very hard. But to be a great team, you have to have players committed to the success of that team. We will never effectively connect people with Jesus Christ unless we have people here at Christ Church who are committed to that team. And the baseline of that is worship plus two and a tithe. I honestly believe that a high standard is essential for a healthy and effective church. Believe it with all of my heart. I don't think you come to church to see how little you can offer. I don't think you come to church to see how grudgingly you can serve, how sparingly you can give, or how reluctantly you can commit. I believe that people come to church because they want to live lives that matter, and they want to connect with Jesus for eternity. I believe people come to church wanting lives of peace and purpose and passion and power. And I believe people come to church because they want to get caught up in the great cause of Jesus Christ. They want to be caught up in something bigger than themselves. And if we want to be a church like that, it will take great commitment on the part of every single one of us. So we need to hold firm. Hold firm. Number two, we need to operate in integrity. Verse 2, we reject all underhanded methods and tell the truth before God. You say, man, it seems like Paul's defending himself. Yeah. You want to know why? Because Paul was under attack. You see, wicked generations will always attack the credibility of the Church of Jesus Christ. They will always make accusations. They will always try to spin the narrative. It's our job to make sure that those false accusations are not substantiated. There's nothing the world likes more than a religious scandal. And let's admit it, there are several scoundrels out there who operate under the guise of religion. But here at Christ Church, we minimize the chances of bad things happening here with intentional processes. We oversee our finances with checks and balances. We have the integrity of formalized and audited accounting practices. We insist on handling internal conflict by the teachings of Christ given to us in Matthew 18. We hold our staff accountable to the mission and to being effective in that mission. We exercise pastoral discipline and let people know you can't shoot cannonballs, blow the waterline of the ship we are on. and we make it a priority to be open and to be honest with people. You can ask me something and I'll be open and honest with you. You may not like what I have to say, but I'll be open and I will be honest. You see, our goal is not to make everyone happy. We are not a business and you are not our consumer. You are not our customer. We are the church of Jesus Christ and we exist for one mission, and that is to connect others with Jesus Christ, and we are accountable to God and God alone. Our goal is not to keep everyone attending here. Our goal is to do everything in our power to connect everyone we possibly can to Jesus Christ. And we're gonna do that with integrity, and we're gonna do that with transparency, and we're gonna do that openly. Number three, we're to preach Christ. Verse five, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Jesus. Paul is the most successful missionary in the history of the world, and Paul completely understood, it's just not about him. My friends, at Christ Church, we're not gonna preach pop culture. We're not gonna preach current events. We may pray for something that's happening in the world, but we're not gonna preach current events. We're certainly not gonna preach partisan politics, and we're not gonna preach Shane Bishop. We preach Christ here, and we preach Christ alone. When I moved here 25 years ago, the sign said Christ United Methodist Church back then. It later became Christ Church. And somebody asked me early in my stay, they said, we were looking for the church where you were the pastor, and we came to Christ Church, but your name wasn't on the sign. I said, how could I possibly put my name on a sign of a church that is called Christ Church? Does Jesus need a co-star? I mean, how could you possibly do that? I mean, Christ Church, that is it. Jesus doesn't need a co-star. We're gonna preach Christ, and we're gonna preach Christ alone in this house. This is an absurd notion today that if you preach the gospel, you're gonna run everybody off. I think the surest way to run people off is to water down the gospel. Look at the fate of the American mainline denominations who have departed from Orthodox Christianity. Every single one of them are a shell of what they once were. My friends, when a church shifts its focus from a risen Christ to a cultural or a political agenda, that church isn't dying. That church is dead already. We serve Christ, and we're gonna preach Christ and Christ alone here. Number four, serve others. Paul said, we are your servants. Had an embarrassing moment happen a few years back. I was at Going Deeper, and I was walking back toward my office, and I forgot what had happened, but somebody yelled all the way across the cafe, way too loud, Reverend Shane, you're a rock star! And somebody was standing next to me, and I could tell. I had no idea who they were. I'd never seen them before, but it was clear this didn't go over well. And they looked at me, and they said, are you a rock star? I said, well, I'm going bald like all the rock stars of the 70s have, but no, I'm not a rock star. I'm a servant. Leaders in Christianity are servants. We are here to serve, but we're here to serve God. We're not here to be served. And the second we forget that we are here to serve, as leaders, we're a derailment in waiting. Paul shook off rejection. He endured ridicule. He refused entitlement. He survived beatings. And I'm not talking about social media beatings. I'm talking about actual beatings in service to Jesus and his church. And you know, anytime I get complaining to the Lord, this is just really hard. It's really hard making a stand for you in a society that is parted from you in so many ways. Lord, this is really hard. God just always says, oh, stop it. Just stop it. Stop being so weak sauce. Read the New Testament. Read about the sacrifices that the leaders I called had to pay to serve me. You've got it really, really good. Paul was beaten. He was eventually martyred, executed for his faith in Christ. And Paul always understood he was there to serve. Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to be a servant of everybody. And then when people looked at Jesus and said, what do you really mean? He grabbed a towel and a pitcher and some water. And the greatest rabbi ever washed the feet of his freaked out disciples. Jesus said, this is what service looks like. My friends, if your idea of Christianity involves entitlement, getting proper credit, serving your personal preferences, or wielding power, you may have a gospel, but it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is to serve. Number five, shine the light. Verse 7, but this precious treasure, this light and power that shines within us is held in the clay pots of our perishable bodies. I remember some years ago, I was making fun of my grandsons for having Pokemon cards. And my oldest grandson, Maddox, said, Papa, what's the difference between that and all your really old baseball cards? And I said, well, if you're not sharp enough to see the difference, I'm not even sure you need to be in this family. The reality is there really wasn't much difference at all. I love old baseball cards. I'm a history guy, and so old baseball cards are fun. I collect cards from the 30s to the late 60s, only Hall of Famers and only cards that I like the looks of. And so I don't have, people say, how many ball cards do you have? I got about 200 baseball cards, but I got 200 really good baseball cards. When I get a new baseball card, I will slab it, and that just means there's these big plastic hunks of something, and I put the card in it, and I screw down the slabs. These big plastic things protect the card. They make the thing airtight. They fight off ultraviolet rays, and it's just pretty protected. You know, I think when Paul is talking to us here, when he's talking about shining the light, this precious treasure, you know, that holder, that plastic slab that I have the card in, that's not the treasure. In fact, it's relatively worthless. It costs a buck, $2, $3, but it's not the value. The value is in what it protects. The value is in the card itself. And it makes sure that I don't drop it in a mud puddle. And if something happens, that the card itself continues to be in high quality. When I put an old baseball card in a slab, the very first thing I do is I put it on display. And you can pop a little light on that thing, and it is gorgeous. And I always think about a kid in 1936 opening something and pulling that baseball card out for the first time. I think about his world and what's going on, where that kid might have lived, who was president. My mind just flies about all over the place. And the kid looks and goes, I got a Jimmy Fox card. And he's just dancing up and down. I always think about those things and how beautiful and awesome those old cards are. Guys, it's a pretty good metaphor for the church. You see, this building is just the protector. The card is the presence of Christ. You see, your life, my life, we are just the protectors. What is of value about us is Christ in us. And Christ is to let that light shine. So our job is to make sure the light isn't occluded. You know, if I get one of my cards and those big protectors, there's not much going to happen that would damage the card. But if I dropped it in mud, in that mud puddle, you couldn't see the card because there'd be mud all over the protector. You see, our job is to make sure we keep the sin out of our lives, that we stay transparent enough that people can see Jesus in us. It's not Christ Church that we celebrate. It's the priceless treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ we contain. It is not you and me that we celebrate, that we are such good people. I've never had a single person look at one of my old ball cards and say, man, is that a fine container. Man, I've never seen a plastic protector that nice. Nobody says that. They see through that into the card. We need to live lives where people can see through us and all of our stuff and all of our imperfections and still see Christ. Over the years, my ball card protectors get pretty beat up. I've dropped a lot of them. They've been rubbed against each other. Some of them are pretty scratched up and pretty beat up. They may not look great, but that card is still in really good condition inside of there. We are those protectors, and we need to keep our lives and our church clean in such a way as the priceless treasure of Christ can be seen by everyone. And then number six is just be a witness. This way, people can clearly see that anything good we do comes from God. When we remember that it's not about us, when we get passionate about our missions, turn up the power, let Jesus shine through us and effectively disseminate the gospel, Paul says the world will know that what we do comes from God. Churches that stand for Orthodox Christianity in 2021 are going to be persecuted by the cultural values of this world. It is just going to happen. Our job is to make sure that those lies, those accusations are not founded, and our job is to provide such a credible witness that even those who disagree with everything we stand for would still have to say that is of God. Dozens and dozens and dozens of children started back to school this year with new backpacks and uniforms and school supplies in East St. Louis because of our backpack attack. And over the past decade plus, thousands of children have so benefited. Local food pantries get stocked in the dead of summer. And in the holidays, when their shelves would be bare otherwise, because of the thousands of items, tens of thousands, no, over the years, hundreds of thousands of items that the people of Christ Church have donated in our biannual food drives. Over the past 2 weeks, we've offered almost 50 $100 back-to-school scholarships to families who attend here and express financial need with their kids heading back to school. Last month, we offered anybody who had a financial need a $250 grocery card to help things get stabilized at the end of the summer. We at the New Christ Church are changing the narrative about what church can be. We are making an undeniable witness that what we do for people, we do to honor God. Jesus says, "Let your light shine. Put it on a lampstand that God may be glorified. Nothing we do is for our glory. We're just the earthen vessel," to quote Paul, or the baseball card protector, to quote me. That is all we are. But if we can allow that perfect gospel of Christ, if we can allow Jesus to be seen in our lives, something transforming is going to happen. And part of the way we testify to our belief is by helping people in the name of Jesus. Now let me share with you as I close the central core of the New Christ Church. First of all, our mission. We exist to connect people with Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? We exist to connect people with Jesus Christ. A shared mission gives us a guidance system. Any idea that people have, that we might have, the first filter it has to run through is explain to us how it connects people to Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean it's not a good thing to do, but if it doesn't connect people to Jesus, we're not gonna do it. That mission gives us a clear filter for ministry. It's how we decide what to fund, what not to fund, what to do, what not to do. And whether or not we continue to fund something. If you've been ahead of ministry for 5 years, what we're gonna ask you is not how much good you're doing. We're gonna say, who have you connected with Jesus? It is that filter. And then finally, it gives us a language by which we can negotiate change. When change happens, when we gotta do things a new way here, it's not one set of personal preferences winning over another set of personal preferences. It's us saying, we think this change is necessary to better connect people to Jesus Christ. That's what a mission gives you. We exist to connect people with Jesus Christ. Number two, our mission strategy is to reach out, welcome, and disciple through worship and service. We are going to be an evangelistic church. You want to know why? Because we have good news to share. We have good news to share. We are going to be an evangelistic church. When we invite people to church, some of them are going to show up. And no matter who they are, we are going to welcome them. We are going to welcome them. I love the old idea that God always accepts us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And that gets to the third piece, discipleship. When we welcome people in, we want to engage them in the process of becoming more like Christ. We want to challenge them to become more like Jesus. How do we do that? We do it as we worship, and we do it as we serve. I think of worship as our hands up, surrender before God, praising God, being a funnel where God can just pour into us. And I think a service is just getting our hands dirty in the name of Jesus, getting involved in Jesus' work in this world. That's our strategy. We're going to reach out, welcome, and disciple through worship and service. Finally, our membership vows. For those who have joined the church, you have asked me to hold you accountable to five things. If you've not joined the church, I've not been asked to do so. I do not have a theological right to hold you accountable if you've not asked me to do so. But those of you that join this church, that's a little bit different matter. And you agree to support with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. The first thing I want to ask you to do is I want to call you to prayer. Those of you who joined the New Christ Church, I would like to ask that you hold your church in prayer. Pray that God would give us wisdom and discernment as we navigate through the obstacles that surround us from a million directions. Pray that God's outpouring of God's Spirit would continue to happen in this place. Pray that God gives this church protection. Pray that this church sees the power of the Holy Spirit. I just charge you to pray for this church. So the first thing you do is you agree to pray. Presence is just to be here. We got a lot of ways to attend Christ's church. You can do it from anywhere in the world. I want to welcome those of you who are on college campuses right now, our students from Christ Church who've set up micro campuses at your various schools. I want to welcome you because it's another way that you can attend. You can be a part of this church. Prayers, presents, gifts. I want to thank everyone who financially supports this church and who supports this church with your personal gifts and with your time and with your talents. This church doesn't work without those resources. Thank you for investing them. We will do our very best to give you the best spiritual return we possibly can on those investments. We will be effective. Next, our service and our witness. So, you agree to support with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. I'm gonna keep that in front of you, and I'm gonna ask you to lean into that, because we will never be the great church that God is calling us to be until we collectively lean into Christian discipleship. Christ Church exists to connect people with Jesus Christ. It's not just a slogan here, it's our heart and it's our soul. Do we do some fun things? Absolutely. On your way out, if you stick your head outside that door, right there, there's gonna be free snow cones. Does that connect people with Christ? Sure. We want this to be a joyful place. We want this to be a place your kids want to attend. I love it when I hear parents tell me we were gonna sleep in today and our kids woke up and kept begging us to go to church. That kid gets two free snow cones today. That mission is our heart and our soul. By the grace of God, the work of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to lean in. I invite you to roll up your sleeves and join me in being effective in that mission in the context of Christ Church. It's easy to be a terrible team. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to practice. It's tough to be a great team. because you do have to work hard and you do have to practice. I believe that God has not done everything God has done in this house just to bring us to this point. I believe this point is a launching platform to the great things that God has for us just ahead. Are times difficult? Absolutely. That is why God needs a great church right here in Fairview Heights and in our campuses, and that message that goes throughout this country and throughout the world. Would you pray with me? Great and mighty God, I don't know where everybody is this morning, but I know that in this moment, we are gathered here in your name. So we pray for the forgiveness of our sin. We pray for the forgiveness of sins of our nation. We pray for forgiveness for sins of our communities. We pray for forgiveness of sins in our own life. And we pray, dear God, that you would free us, that we may align with Christ, and that Christ through us may bring healing and hope and salvation to this world. Dear God, we covenant with you that this church will stay singularly focused on our mission of connecting people with your Son, Jesus Christ. We do this in all faith that we will be effective. We do this in all faith that the boys and girls who are in our children's area right now are gonna grow up to be men and women of God. We do this in all faith that those new Christians, those people that just found you, are gonna be forged into men and women of God. And dear God, for those of us here, whether we've been Christians for a year or our 70 years, Lord, we pray for fresh wind and we pray for fresh fire. We pray, dear God, that anything in our life that's keeping us from being everything you would have us be, we just give that to you. We confess that as sin. And we lean into this revival that is already blazing in this house. Dear God, we will effectively connect people to your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen.